with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." And now, here's today's message.
Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, Paul is talking about how they had received from God this ministry and how they were very careful in how they lived their life before other believers. So the Amplified Bible says it this way: "We put no obstruction in anybody's way. We give no offense in anything, so that no fault may be found and our ministry blamed or discredited." Paul said, look, we are careful how we live so that our ministry will not be discredited or brought under some accusation. So you have to be careful about your life, amen, because your life is a ministry under God. How you live is your ministry. It is your service to God. And you have to be careful that you don't do anything that's going to discredit your relationship with God. In other words, you start living in such a way that somebody say, well, I thought they was a Christian. Well, if they was a Christian, why are they doing this? And they're doing it all the time. See, you just discredited your testimony. Amen. Amen. Paul said, we were careful that we didn't do that. Listen at it again. We put no obstruction in anybody's way. We give no offense in anything, so that no fault may be found in our ministry blamed or discredited. We live our lives in such a way that no fault can be found in us. Now, we know he's not perfect. But the way he lived his life, if you looked at him, you'd think, boy, that's a perfect man. I can't find no fault with him. We know we're not perfect, but you need to be careful how you live. And then Paul said, how'd they do it? Down in verse number 6, he says, by innocence and purity. That's one way. By knowledge and spiritual insight, long-suffering, patience, kindness, in the Holy Ghost, in unfeigned love. So he put purity right in the middle of that. He said, we do it because we want to stay pure. No contamination. Full strength. Hallelujah. How many of y'all want to be at full strength? You want that power flowing through your life. Amen. You're a better minister when you got full strength there. When you lay hands on the sick, the power flow out, because there ain't nothing in your mind trying to talk you out of this blessing. You know how you ministering to people and your heart ain't right and your life ain't right? All kind of condemnation, all kind of arrows and fiery darts be hitting your mind about why God ain't going to do it. You get under condemnation and everything else. But it's so good to have a clean conscience. The Bible talks about having a pure conscience. You need to keep your conscience clean. You keep your conscience clean by confessing your sin. When you mess up, you ask the Lord to forgive you, and then you repent. The Bible said, not just, Lord, forgive me, and then go on and do what you're going to do. No, the Bible says you have to confess your sin and forsake them. A lot of people just want to say, oh, Lord, forgive me, I did wrong. But they don't forsake anything. Before they get up off the ground, they think about the next time they're going to do it. Well, you know, the Lord is merciful. He's going to forgive me. That ain't the way you're supposed to live. Shall I sin because I'm in grace? The Bible says, God forbid, in Romans chapter 6. Say, God forbid. Another translation say, never, never. Well, I'm in grace. God going to forgive me. I'm going to go ahead and sin because I know he's going to forgive me. A lot of believers live that way. They say, well, I know I ain't supposed to do it, but I'm going to do it one time. The Lord will forgive me. Oh, you playing with fire. You playing with eternal destiny there. That's how addictive behaviors happen. Just one time, then another time, then another time, then another time. Before you know it, that thing got you. So you have to keep your lifestyle pure. You have to keep your thought life pure. Your thoughts have to be pure. In Philippians 4:8, it says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So your mind needs to be kept pure. How many of you know that your mind can get contaminated by what you see? Your mind can get contaminated by what you hear and by what you see. Contamination can come in your mind where you start meditating on the wrong thing, where you start seeing yourself doing the wrong thing. You know, you can meditate on an evil thing and be, well, let me plan it. Some people plan the sin. How many of y'all ever plan the sin? Now, we got a lot of lies in here now. I'm going to take it. Because if you ever say, I can do this and get away with it, you was planning. I'm going to give y'all one more chance because I caught y'all off guard. How many of y'all ever planned the sin? All right, that's more like it. I know I wasn't the only one in here that was a heathen at one time. You didn't ever just, oop, I sin. You have to keep your conscience clean. Your thought life had to be pure. That means you can't let anything come in your mind. You can't let any image come in your mind. Your thought life can be contaminated with pictures and images. Your thought life can be contaminated with words that create images. So you're responsible for what you think about. Pastor, I just can't help but think about it. Yeah, you can. Some people, that's a revelation that you can control your thoughts. No, your thoughts are not just random that you have no control over. Yeah, you got control over your thoughts. You can choose what to think about. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Got to keep your conscience clean. Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And another translation says, I serve God with a pure conscience. Serving God with a pure conscience. Holding means possessing or being committed to the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. So your conscience has to be kept clean and pure. In other words, you should never have something in you that's nagging you about you mistreated somebody. How many of you know when you mistreat somebody, you know you did wrong? You get convicted. If you're in the Word, you're going to get convicted. Well, some people will feel that conviction from the Holy Ghost that's telling them it's not right what they did, and they'll say, yeah, but they deserve it. And they'll hold on to that conviction. They'll just let that conviction stay there. But the Bible says when you get under conviction, you need to confess that as sin. You need to keep your conscience clean. You shouldn't have anybody on the face of this earth that can't walk up to you and you be ducking and diving. You know, if you did something to somebody or if somebody did something to you, you don't want to be in their presence at first. But if you don't deal with it, it'll be that way 10 years from now. The McCars and the Hatfields holding a grudge for 100 years. That modern generation don't even know what even started the feud. Well, we just don't like them. Why? I don't know. We just don't like them. And that root of bitterness is passed on from generation to generation. You had to be careful who you talk about in your family. Because you're so discord in your children. Your children will be hating and can't stand in people that ain't never did nothing to them. Listen to that. You talk about them. Taking on your offense. Keep your conscience clean, pure, at full strength. That means anybody can come up to you and you'll be like, hey, praise the Lord. I ain't got nothing to run, nothing to hide from. And the Bible says that we have to be careful to maintain a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. Some people say, well, everything all right between me and God is people I got trouble with. Well, if you got trouble with God, something is wrong with you. Because God, he's the best you're ever going to find. So you all not have nothing against him. Keep your conscience clean toward God. And then you got to keep your conscience clean towards your fellow man. Paul said, I strive hard to keep my conscience clean toward God and toward man. So both of them are part of your vertical relationship and your horizontal relationship with people. Amen. Amen. You know, 4 or 5 of those 10 commandments had to deal with human relationships, and then 5 of them had to do with your relationship with God. Think about it. Some of them had to do with you honoring God, your relationship with him, and then the other was about relationship with one another. Praise God. Keep a pure conscience. And then we learn purity by obedience through the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter 1:22 says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply, fervently, from a pure heart. So love should issue forth out of a pure heart. Full strength. We should love each other fervently. That means our love for one another, as time goes on, ought to be getting stronger and stronger, not lesser and lesser. You know what happened in a lot of churches? The longer they stay together, the more they can't stand one another. So-and-so just get under my skin. I don't even want to sit on the same side of church they on. And then that stuff get in there, and it's all over the congregation. We got to keep it pure here. We love each other. Our love for you is growing and increasing. Amen. We should be more appreciative of one another as time goes on, not less and less taking each other for granted. Amen. He said you did it by obeying the truth. That means you adopted God's moral standard as your own. You obeyed the truth. You purified your soul by obeying the truth. In other words, you adopted God's moral standard. You adopted his word as your own personal standard for your life. And then you conform to it. It means you live up to it. It means you start doing what God says. It means you accept God's word as your standard for living. When you do that, there's a purification that takes place in your life. Hallelujah. Purify your soul, your mind, your thought life, your mind, your will, your emotions. They are purified by obeying the truth. Amen. And then 1 Timothy 5:22, turn over there. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure. Listen at this one right here. It says, lay your hand suddenly on no man. Neither be a partaker of other man's sin. Keep yourself pure. Now, let me read it out of Amplified. Do not be in a hurry in the laying on of hands, giving the sanction of the church too hastily in reinstating expelled offenders or in ordination in questionable cases, nor share or participate in another man's sins. Keep yourself pure. Don't be a partner with other people in their sin. That includes sexual sin. When he says keep yourself pure, that also includes being chaste, or it means living a life of chastity. That means that you keep yourself from sexual defilement.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church.